Please be seated.
As many of you probably already know, because I think I mention this every time I'm in front of you, that I am a fanatic of which restaurant? Outback Steakhouse. And as I'm a fanatic of Outback Steakhouse, every time I go to this restaurant, when I sit down at the table, there is a huge dilemma that I face. The dilemma is this. Do I go for the Bloomin' Onion with all the grease and fat? Or do I save my stomach and its lining and go for the salad, you know? And to you, that might sound silly, but to me, great anxiety is built up over such decision. And so as I approach this decision, I feel the adrenaline running through my bloodstream, and my breaths are shortened and whatnot. But somewhere along the journey, I'm sure these last 9 to 10 months, you have faced some sort of decisions, most likely more serious than that one. For example, you might have had to decide whether to purchase a house or not, whether to send little Johnny to a private school and fork up the money for it, or maybe homeschooling. Maybe you've had decisions like picking up the family and moving across country to another job. Maybe you even had a decision to purchase the black Mustang at the youth yard sale last couple weeks. These decisions tend to really tear at our inner being, and great anxiety can be built up over this. While all these decisions that need to be made happen in life, what still is happening the rest of your life? What still is happening is responsibility. What still is happening in your life is your job, meeting deadlines, still have to take the kids from lacrosse to soccer to baseball to school functions to friends' house. See, life still happens, and it is all so very tiring. This morning we are going to be talking about something that is called spiritual rest. And my question for you this morning, although not proper English, is got rest? See, the thing is that I'm talking about the spiritual rest where you can, I'm not talking about sleeping, although that's very helpful. I'm not talking about taking a break on the journey. This morning what we're going to be talking about is the rest where you have the anxiety like I do about the Bloomin' Onion, and you feel the adrenaline, and you can just feel it. And what I'm talking about is the adrenaline where you can take a deep breath and just know that God is in control. See, you're at a very crucial point as we turn to Isaiah chapter 30, as I hear many of you doing already. We're at a crucial point. Your church, our church, we just spent the last 9 to 10 months on a topic about our journey to Christ-likeness. As far as our series is concerned, we're almost done. As far as our journey is concerned, we have our life ahead of us. But we have talked about the last 9 or 10 months, things on the journey, whether it was about celebrating the journey when we were in the book of Leviticus, whether we were talking about no one travels alone, whether we're talking about the spiritual disciplines, or like the last series of hope. And a couple things probably have happened. You might have dropped off way back in the Levitical feast. You might have dropped off when you felt sad about being alone when no one travels alone. You might have started a spiritual discipline and then failed. And all of these reasons is because you might have gotten tired. The rest that we're talking about stems from Numbers chapter 14, 13 and 14, when God was sent the spies into Israel. Into the promised land, Canaan. And Moses sent them in there and said, bring back a report of the land. Scout out the promised land that God has given us. And so if you look up there on the screen, we see this verse also found in Hebrews chapter 4. What happened is that they came back and they gave a report such like this. I don't even know why we're here. I'd rather go back into bondage, back to Egypt, into slavery, rather than continue on this journey to the promised land. So in Numbers 14 and Hebrews 4, in the New Testament dates back. It says, for 40 years, God was angry with that generation. They are a people whose hearts go astray. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. For them, their rest was the end of their journey, which was what was promised to them. And because of this disobedience, God said, you will never enter my rest. So everyone under or over the age of 20, except for Joshua and Caleb, were not allowed to enter into the promised land. And so they wandered for 40 years. We fast forward so many hundreds of years, and we get to the point where we are in Isaiah chapter 30. And here we find Israel is still disobeying God. Next slide there. I have a couple questions for you. First question is, why do I need rest? Let's read Isaiah 30, starting in verse 8. Go now, write it on a tablet. Inscribe it on a scroll, that for the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. These are rebellious people, deceitful children, children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophets, give us no more visions of what is right. Tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Leave this way, get off this path, and stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel. Israel got to the point after their journey. Way back in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, hey, your descendants, I'm going to bless them, and I'm going to get into the promised land. But then they got to Moses, and then they went on this long journey where there was a lot of troubles, and they had to dive some roadblocks on the journey. And then they got right before the promised land, and then they were sent in 40 years of wanderings. And so they got to this point where now Assyria from the north was getting ready to come in and take over their land. And so at this point, they are scared, they are fearful, and quite honestly, they're tired because they've had time and time again where they felt this pressure. And as soon as life pressure started creeping in on them, they panicked. And what they did was they decided that they were going to go to Egypt instead of who? God. They kind of matched their MO. See, what happens here is spiritual dissension. Why do I need rest? Because of spiritual dissension. It says here that Israel became rebellious and deceitful people. You ever seen a little child when they get really, really cranky? When they haven't gotten a lot of sleep? Well, we could probably picture our nieces or nephews or even maybe our own children when they get tired and cranky. But believe it or not, we as adults can even get tired and cranky. We can become rebellious people. See, when you get tired, it's easier to go against what God wants. See, Israel, they had Egypt standing right there. They could see Egypt. Egypt was going to help them get past the Assyrians. Well, mind you, Egypt at this point wasn't really doing too well for themselves either. They were declining as a world power. Become ignorant and helpless. They lost, dazed, and confused. See, it's real easy to be thwarted off the path without proper spiritual rest. Spiritual dissension. Why do I need rest? Spiritual dissension. Question number two. What happens if I don't rest? What happens if I don't rest? Let's continue reading on verse 12. Therefore, this is what the Holy One of Israel says. Because you have rejected this message, relied on oppression, and depended on deceit, this sin will become for you like a high wall, cracked and bulging, that collapses suddenly in an instant. It will break like pieces like pottery, shattered so mercilessly that among its pieces not a fragment will be found, for taking coals from a hearth or scooping water out of a cistern. What happens if I don't rest? Well, you'll become delirious. Have you ever got to the point where you're just so tired? I've experienced a few of these as a youth pastor, one of them being New Year's Eve Eve. New Year's Eve Eve, and also I have to confess to you a couple weeks ago, that yard sale that many of you came out to support our youth missions, we were up, we started at 3 p.m. that afternoon, Friday afternoon, and we went all the way until 2 a.m. that Saturday morning, and then woke up at 4:30 to make sure the rain didn't get to it. I got to the point where I started laughing at student jokes that weren't even funny, you know. It made them feel really good. And then it was really funny because then I told jokes, and which they never usually laugh at, and they were so delirious, they started laughing too. See, when you get delirious, when you get tired, you get delirious, and you don't really know what happens. See, what happens, it's easier to walk off the path when you're delirious. Your foundation that you build, you'll go off this path, and like Israel did with asking Egypt, what you'll do is you'll kind of formulate your own idea on how you want to handle these tough decisions or tough decisions in life or tough events in life. Your ability to discern is lost. Right and wrong sends the mesh together. And your life seems hopeless. See, if you notice the foundation ability in L, I didn't mean to do this, but then I was looking at it, it's fall. You'll fall. It's like a bulging wall will just collapse underneath you. The highway you make off this spiritual path, off this journey, because you're tired and you become delirious and you'll go off of it, it's not supported by God, and therefore it will crack and fall. Hopelessness tends to seep in around this point too. I have to admit, the night of the yard sale, it was supposed to rain. It was supposed to just be a downpour. And they called from 1 a.m. all the way till 9 a.m. Thunderstorms and 40-mile-an-hour winds and all this kind of stuff. And I was getting a little worried because we decided to set up outside. And at this point, around 1 a.m., it started sprinkling. And we had prayed all night. We had a little prayer session in the food court over here. And we were just praying the rain away. Well, the rain started drizzling around 1 a.m. And at this point, I figured everything was going to be drenched and the yard sale was going to be a moot point and we'd have to just throw everything away because it got so wet. The little faith that I had, we woke up around 4:30 and I woke up to dry concrete. And why did my mouth drop? I don't know. Because we had prayed, and sometimes, I have to admit, sometimes you pray for things and God still allows things to happen, but God, I don't know what He did, okay? I didn't watch the forecast, I didn't go watch the screen or anything. All I know is that when we woke up, all the yard sale stuff was still dry, and we were able to do with the yard sale. But I was at the point at 2 a.m. in the morning where I was delirious and I had no more hope. I got to the point where I had no more faith. Become delirious if you don't get rest. Read on. Verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. But in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no one, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. I think we get to the point where going off the path, because we're feeling this pressure, we're feeling the weight of life kind of on our shoulders. We feel like when we have to face these decisions or these life events and the whirlwind of life around us is just kind of unbearable, we get to the point where we just feel that going off the path and trusting in ourselves instead of God is better. How do I find rest? Dependence on God. See, God was warning them, this is what's going to happen. You think you're going to run, but they're going to catch up to you. You think you're going to charge at them, but they will conquer you. If you build up for yourself your own philosophy on how to conquer the Assyrians, they will beat you every time. Repentance and rest. So how do we find rest? How do we get to the point where I can have spiritual rest? Now, I was once told by someone that I really respect and look up to. He says every time he takes in a deep breath, he's breathing in the Spirit. And every time he exhales, what he can feel is all that junk and worry and anxiety. He can just feel it going through his bloodstream and out his fingertips. So I've tried this a few times, even once before I came up here. And all that pain and all that. See, a pastor said something interesting last week. I love what he said. It's kind of like looking down the path and all you can see is that nastiness, you know. All you can see is all these tough decisions. And you think as you're walking down the path, you think you're walking down the path alone. And it's like God that just kind of lifts us up and lifts our eyes over the mound of nastiness, the mound of anxiety, the mound of trouble and pain and trials. And as you look over, you can see just the result because you're not alone on the path. If we understand our dependence. See, a lot of people, we think that we're alone. And so what happens is we build up our own and we say, you know what? My calling in life is to be a mother. So I'm going to do all the motherly duties, or I'm going to be a great wife, a husband. I'm going to work really hard. I'm going to spend a lot of time spending all these hours in the office, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And I say to you, where are your priorities? And if they're set upon other people and yourself, then it might be wrong. See, dependence on God, it means this. It means that you can set your priorities as follows. God, mother, wife, however else you put it into perspective. See, I believe if God is at the top of our list and our children, if they see us in quietness and in trust in the Lord and acceptance and patience on what God has for us, and we seem rested and not full of anxiety, our children will see that more than you driving them. And all these are great. One of the best highlights I ever had is my dad pulling me out of school and taking me to see Dr. Camden. It was really Camden Yards, but he tricked me and he got me all the way up to Baltimore. And I thought we were going to John Hopkins. I don't know why. But it was really Camden Yards. And I was really excited. That is great. But you know what? What is even more is that when our you know, your children can see you. Ma, I got to go to soccer practice. Hang on. I'm doing my quiet time. I'm spending alone time with the Lord. See, in the busyness of life and anxiety and all this kind of, I remember we were planning our wedding. Okay. And we were planning our wedding just back over the last year. And holy cow, it's so easy to totally forget to look over that mound and see the end result. It was hard to be quiet and trust the Lord. It was hard to. And so this morning, that's why we have up here. And it says here in verse 15, in repentance and rest is your salvation. Maybe you just have to confess the Lord to the Lord, all those cares and all those troubles and all those decisions that you have to make in your life and cast them up to God and repent of them. Next. I'm going to start in 18 again, just so we're refreshed by this verse, because it is kind of like my new verse that I'm just kind of spending a lot of time on in my quiet time. All this stuff, no matter how much we disobey, or how far we get off the path, guess who's still standing on the path? God. And he's saying this, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. Verse 19, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. how gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you, listen carefully, the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." I'm going to stop there real quick. We're going to get tired. And we're going to want to walk off the path. And as soon as we turn to the right or to the left to go up the path, God is there saying, whether you hear Him or not, and says, "Here, you will hear Him. You're going to turn this way? Come this way. Come follow Me. You're going the wrong direction." He's there and He wants you to stay on the path. He wants you to persevere. He wants you to trust in Him. See, what we really need is deliverance from ourselves. Once we're delivered from ourselves, let's continue reading. It says, "Then you will," in verse 22, "defile your idols, overlaid with silver and your images covered with gold. You will throw them away like a menstrual cloth and say to them, 'Away with you.'" You think He's serious? "He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground, and the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash spread out with a fork and shovel. In the day of great slaughter, when the towers fall, streams of water will flow on every high mountain and every lofty hill. The moon will shine like the sun, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of seven full days." Listen carefully to this. "When the Lord binds up the bruises of His people and heals the wounds He inflicted." He might allow you to face the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. He might allow you to go through these steps, but see, we're not in it alone. See, I think God wants us to enjoy Him. I think God wants us to fully experience His presence. I think God wants to bring us clarity. I think He wants to bring us confidence. See, where we can't gain it on our own, He is there to give it these things once we're rescued from ourselves. I'm reminded of, I'm looking at the path, and for me it's easier because I'm a visual learner, and so hopefully this is easy for you as well. See, what happens is we're on this path and we're walking down, and after we've had spiritual dissension, we like to negate really whatever God says. We don't want any authority in our lives. We want just to hear what we feel good about, and we get to the point where we're delirious and we don't even know what's going on. And we're dependent upon Him. We're walking down this path. And it's really foggy. And it's so foggy that you can only see the step in front of you. And it's kind of like just walking with your eyes closed. Human logic, Joey would say, "I'm going to stop walking. I'm going to sit down and take a break. I don't want to run into anything." See, God says, keep walking. See, depending on the Lord, see what that happens then is that we start depending on Him. We just walk faithfully. And then I can just imagine the fog kind of disappearing. And the walk on this journey becomes more clear. The reasons behind all these difficult things become more clear. And He will protect us. Here, He blessed. He said, "Israel, even though you're going to go against Me, I'm still going to bless you. Turn back. Follow Me. Come this way." The fog then disappears. We are weak and we are in need of clarity from God. What does rest do for me? It delivers us from ourselves. See, rest, the rest that I'm talking about today, I'm not talking about sleeping. I'm not even talking about sitting down like I am right now and just kind of taking a break on the path. See, rest is really moving forward. Rest really is moving forward in God's direction, trusting in Him, being rescued and delivered from ourselves, being dependent on Him so we don't become delirious and we don't have dissension in our lives. It's getting to the point where you have tough decisions to make, when you have decisions that you cannot make on your own. There's some things going on in my life right now where if I, Joey, had to make the decision on based on my logic and my own smarts, I would be going downhill really fast. I recently have been making an effort to lose weight, you know, and I've failed pretty bad. Yeah, I lost 20 pounds and then I gained 10 back. But my hope and my desire and what keeps going through my mind on my own little side journey of losing weight is that I could play a full hockey game and a full basketball game, full court, without passing out. I know that my goal is to not be fatigued by 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I have all these goals, and what I've realized is even though I have failed, I can just feel God just really encouraging me. Even though I failed, what I've realized is that anything with great reward to me, and that is protecting and taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit, I believe that that is a great reward that I will have, and it is hard work. And I realize I can't do it on my own. And for you, you might have other things going on in your life that might be more difficult. But looking over that bump in the journey and looking down and seeing the great hope of that goal, that Christ-likeness, that hope that we have, sometimes we just need to take a deep breath and just breathe out all that junk and let it just ooze out of our fingertips. This morning, I just want to repeat this verse, and as the band comes up here in a little bit, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for Him. Down in verse 20, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear the voice behind you saying, this way, walk in it. We have a gracious God, a compassionate God. We're not on this journey alone. My prayer for all of us this morning is, if you are built up and if you're a warrior, you know, I have people in my family that are warriors, you know. Warrior, not people who worry. Thank you. You usually find yourself filled with anxiety over things. If there's events going on in your life, allow God to deliver and rescue you from yourself, that you don't have to experience it on your own. And while they sing, maybe you can just breathe in the Spirit and exhale all the junk. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. I just thank you for Isaiah 30 that just shows us how gracious, that you long to be gracious to us. Father, how compassionate you are, how you just desire to be in relationship with us where we can be dependent upon you for our lives. God, I thank you for that. Father, my prayer is that everybody in here, they take their spiritual lives, their spiritual journey, and they don't quit. They don't go to the right or to the left. Father, that they don't sit down on the path, that they find spiritual rest in knowing that you are their God. Father, this morning, I just thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us this ability to actually feel your rest. Not only rest here on this earth, but rest in eternal life if we believe in Him. God, we thank you and praise you for who you are. We pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.